Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the Luke and Pete Show. It is Monday, the 12th of October, approaching winter as quick as a freight train. One of those weird trains that go under the wrong bridge and it shears the top off everything. They're always exciting. Pete Donaldson and Luke Mill with you for another Monday. How are you doing, Luke? You all right?
Pretty good, thanks. Yeah, I'm firmly ensconced in the warmth of Chateau Mormont.
Nice.
The heat, I've just literally heard the heat in. Kick into action.
Cranking.
I've got a jumper on. I'm going to be fine. Everything's good. How was your weekend, mate?
Have you packed your anus for like a bear for winter?
You always say that around this time of year. It's like every year
I
you
do.
Say that.
I like the idea of you packing your anus.
You've refused to answer my question about how your weekend was by asking me if I've packed my anus. And that is not the behaviour of a firmly balanced, well-balanced
breakfast.
Individual.
Yeah, it was good. I went to two separate what do you call them, car boot sales, or for the Americans, a garage sale outside of a garage. What do they call it? Flea market.
We get into that, Pete, but can you just tell me, just remind me, having said what I've just said, and I'm very, very excited to see that you've moved to your to the life stage of going to car boot sales on your own. My dad does that.
Yeah.
And he's in his 60s. But before we get into that, what do bears pack their anuses with? Do you know?
Dirt and twigs and leaves.
Twigs?
Well, small twigs, I guess. I mean, if you're picking up dirt, there's going to be twigs within, won't it? But it's mainly dirt.
What do they do it for? To slow their own kind of digestive system down or something?
I think it's to stop them pooping where they sleep, so to speak. I think that's the situation.
Because I read before that bears have been observed to give birth while hibernating.
Incredible, isn't it? Because, I mean, when they're hibernating, they're not always asleep, are they? They're in a half sleep, half awake, kind of like I'm in my house kind of situation.
I think they slowed their heart rate right down, don't they? And their vital signs go very, very low. I think maybe, I'm not entirely sure whether they completely... sleep or not. But I mean, imagine how hungry you'd be after waking up after that.
Yeah, you'd be famished, wouldn't you? You'd be straight down Mackey D's for a breakfast.
Because I think, have you seen that Werner Herzog documentary movie, Grizzly Man?
Is that the man who gets eaten at the end? Spoilers.
To be fair, I think it's a film from like the 90s, so it's not yeah. the spoiler limit has been reached. But I think the reason that it ends so badly for him is because I think he starts associating with the bears like earlier and earlier each year, and if you do that, they're obviously hungrier and hungrier because they come out of hibernation in the spring and they need to fatten up. I mean, they put on loads of fat and weight before they hibernate, which obviously sustains them. So when they come out of the hibernation period, they are quite literally ravenous. And a mad, blonde-haired, just wildly gesticulating man is probably like a red rag to a bull.
So he refused to stop
going earlier and earlier. You're supposed to wait to a certain period of time where they're actually sated and they're a little bit more docile. Mm.
Their first thought was, did that guy almost get the Cheers job behind Woody Harrelson? And then their second thought is, lunch.
Because if he had got the Cheers job ahead of Woody Harrelson, they probably would just ask for his autograph. and it would have been fine. Like a couple of selfies and off you go. Yeah, kind
what's
of
Fraser like? What's Fraser Crane like?
That was really interesting. So for people who haven't seen Grizzly Man, this Werner Herzog documentary movie about a guy obsessed with bears who leads this educational thing around grizzly bears and stuff, but he's obviously a little bit strange. And one of the big sliding doors moments of his life was that he was an actor, but he didn't get the job of Woody in Cheers. Woody Harrelson got it, and so that sent him off on this different path. Isn't that fascinating?
Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, you could say I guess there's a jump off point with everybody's life that you can sort of go, well, that's where it started to go wrong or to go right. But I mean, if you're in the acting game,
did you think about that when you were at the car boot?
I like the car boot. Well, I went to a car boot by myself in a place called Apsley, and I walked over, and there, honestly, it was about 10 cars maximum. I was like, well, this isn't good enough.
But what are you bringing to the party?
Finances. True. 300 quid drawn out the ATM.
Love that. You had a pocket full of 50s.
Pocket full of dead presidents slash celebrated chemists.
Sky high papes.
Yeah, exactly. I was ready to get involved, but yeah, I went the first one. That said, I did find at the first one something like 60 wrestling figures that I bought.
Yes.
Pound each. Nice.
How many did you buy?
There was about 60 of them. Pound each.
You bought all of them?
Yeah, she couldn't believe it.
Mate.
She wished she'd
did you get a discount
more.
On it in bulk?
No, but I did recommend the excellent wrestling podcast Wrestle Me to the woman.
But Pete, this
son
is
was
mate
into wrestling.
If they're a pound each and you're buying 60 of them, I'd be offering 40 quid max.
Yeah, you know what though, Luke? I actually gave her £5 more because I knew it was going to get a kid.
Oh my god! You're a car boot. You're an absolute car boot fucking
amateur.
Novice.
I know. Well, no, I'm not. I've been to loads of them, but I will never haggle. Especially when things are like a quid. What is the fucking point?
Do you know what? This is the first episode. My dad is a voracious consumer of my work because he's very proud of me, bless him. And this is the first episode I'm going to have to fucking get him off to not watch.
Get him off.
I'm going to have to get him out of there. He can't listen to this. He'll be absolutely incandescent with your car boot self-discipline.
He's already got some strong opinions on Shea Donaldson. I sort of finished there, bought me wrestling figures, decided to go to another car boot sale near High Wycombe. Oh, was it High Wycombe? Yeah, it was a good 25 minutes. Got an Uber. from one car boot to another. And it wasn't open for another hour, so I was like, "Oh, I'll go get a coffee." But the wrestling figures were too heavy, so I hid them in a farmer's field. It was a really fun Sunday morning. Liv, I have to
this
say,
this is unbelievable. This is so. Hang on a minute. So for people who aren't quite as adept at drawing the lines with you as I am, so you've decided to, you've announced probably, you've loudly pronounced to your lovely girlfriend that you're going to spend the Sunday going to car boot sales on your own. Was she invited or not?
She was invited, but she was very much not interested. Because the problem with car boots is you've got to get up at like 7 o'clock in the morning to go
enough
there. I mean, people set up from seven and the early bird gets the worm, so to speak. But yeah, I got there.
So you've got the train to the first one, and then you've got an Uber to another one, but you've got a bag full of 60 wrestling figures, which you've had to hide in the farmer's field and go back and get later.
Got the train to the first one. Decided I was hungry, so I went to get a pork pie from Tesco's, and then walked to the car boot sale. Wasn't good enough. Bought some wrestling figures, but wasn't good enough. Went to another one about 25 minutes away. An Eastern European taxi driver was very upset by the thinness of the country roads. I was like, "You're working in the country, like all of the roads are small." He's like, "Where they build the roads so small?" I was like, "Well, it's because it's bloody small. It's just for a tractor, isn't it?" But he was quite wound up that he had to drive me down these little roads. Anyway, we got there and I decided to hide my wrestling figures in a farmer's field, hoping that agricultural interest in John Cena, for John Cena figures at that, was very low. Walked into town, got myself a coffee from a little coffee shop that was dominated, but it was basically like a cycling shop / coffee shop, and it was basically where all of the cyclists used to go for cups of tea and stuff like that, and big slices of homemade cake. It looked very quaint anyway. Walked into the second one. To be honest, there was more stuff there. There was probably about 50 or 60 car boot sellers stuff. I had to make do with a large photograph of a cat playing chess with a mouse. And then I left soon after there.
So that's what you bought?
Back on the road. Yeah, I bought a mouse playing chess with a cat. But it was very, and I was feeling a bit, I was getting a bit fruity at that point because I'd had very little sleep. And the woman went, there you go, that'll be a pound. It needs a good clean. I went, don't we all love? And then walked off. I don't know what that meant.
No, but you're better at the badinage than you are the haggling by the sounds of it.
Oh yeah, no, I didn't haggle for a single thing. And to be honest, the only thing at car boots in 2020 of interest, unless you really, really like mobile phone covers for phones that don't exist anymore. Stolen power tools. If you ever get your power tools nicked from your van, go to one of them because they'll be there. Because there's so many different power tools there, and they're all dirty and used.
I wonder. First of all, I'd like to know. I always feel like a huge weight of responsibility on behalf of the listener here to ask the right questions.
Right.
Where are you going to put the picture of the cat and the mouse playing chess? In the house, where are you going to put it?
I'll probably put it in my office. Give it a good clean first. I mean, it is an awful bit of 70s kitsch, but you just look at that cat and you look at that mouse. That cat's probably long dead. The mouse even longer. But they were perfect. To be honest, they'd only just started the chess match, so
yeah.
I'm interested to see how it was going to pan out. To be quite frank,
could have been a bloodbath. And then, did you feel like you wanted to? Pass your driving test because you had to get around the countryside
I've got my CBT test for a little scooter.
Oh, that's right, you're getting a motorbike, aren't you?
I'll get a little scooter, see how we go. But then I did see a man driving down the street really, really quickly on a scooter. I thought that's too fast. That's, you know, like, because not being a driver all of my life and hitting 39 and going, turns out going anything faster than like 5 miles an hour, which is, is 5 miles an hour a reasonable top speed for a human running man?
No.
No. Three miles an hour.
No, it's like 12 or something, isn't it?
Is it? Oh, okay.
Yeah. The top sprinters, I know that's not what you're talking about, but the top sprinters in miles per hour, I mean, like, I'm pretty sure Usain Bolt can run at like 30 miles an hour almost.
Really?
But
wow.
25.
So he could legally speed in certain places.
Yeah, 20 is plenty around here, mate. He'd be in big trouble. I think cyclists do occasionally get the old ticket. But I think it depends on what type of scooter you're talking about. Because where I come from, a scooter is like a moped, but you're not talking about that, no?
No, I'll get a moped. But for a 50, is it 50 cc, 120 cc, you need a license CBT, to be on the road.
So when are you getting that? That's amazing.
I'll keep you posted. I'll keep you a couple of weeks' time. I'll have done it. I'll let you know.
Wow, that's a really big development. Are you going to have an open-faced helmet?
surely they're all open-faced. You've got to see out.
You get ones that kind of cover your chin and then you've got a visor. Then you get the kind of Vespa-type mod scooter kind of open-faced ones, which I think you should definitely get.
I'm going to get one of those watermelon ones. Just like,
that's what I'm talking about. Yeah,
and in developing countries, just a big watermelon on my head.
Yeah, use an actual watermelon. That would be amazing. So my dad's frequents car boot sales quite a lot, and he's got this. You know, last time I told you, I spoke to him, and he was de-rusting an anvil.
Nice. Yeah.
So now he's moved on to this thing where he's quite into restoring like park benches. He's really good at it. So what he'll do. Is he will find a park bench on like Gumtree or whatever, or just like a bench, not necessarily a park bench, but you know what I mean, like a garden bench. Mm. And he'll pick up like a dilapidated one for literally like a fiver, and he'll go and get it. And then what he'll do is he'll go around car boot sales looking for what I guess are called bench ends, which are like brass, and you affix each end of the wood into the bench ends and you screw them in, and you can beautifully like restore the wood and the brass and all that kind of stuff. And what you end up with is a really nice like upcycled bench. And he's just finished one and he's now working on another one. So, I mean, depending on what part of the country you're in, Donnie, you might actually bump into Big Daddy Moore at some point.
Send us a pic then. I want to see that.
I will.
I watch a lot of people on YouTube restoring old like cast iron skillets and stuff. I love all that stuff. He should start a YouTube channel. Daddy Moore on YouTube.
Yeah, he doesn't. The thing about my dad is like he's kind of a weird curiosity because he does like the internet, like most dads do, but he's not that into it. So like he's not on Facebook or anything like that. He kind of likes. I think he likes watching Netflix and he likes sending like emails to his brother. That's pretty much it. He doesn't really do anything else on the internet other than that.
It's just the box where I send emails to my brother on.
Yeah, so he'll be. I think he will be across the idea that he really should be doing his banking online, for example.
Right, okay.
And maybe he'll kind of dabble in a little bit of that. But generally speaking, he's not one of these dads who joins all these Facebook groups posting about like immigrants. You know what I mean? Which I'm actually very happy
about.
That
does take up a lot of time.
Yeah, so he doesn't even really share memes in WhatsApp groups.
Oh,
or anything.
What?
I know.
No Minions memes.
Nah, not really. He does something which is very sweet, which we've got a family WhatsApp group, and every Sunday night he sends a very long message about what he's been up to and that he hopes we've all had a nice weekend and that he'll look forward to speaking to us. Yeah, it's really sweet. So he does that, but he's more just about being in the shed and just doing practical stuff, mate, or riding around on his what are those bikes that have got a battery on them?
E-bike.
He's got an e-bike, and he sometimes texts me about how fast he's been on his e-bike. That's kind of his thing. That's all he does, really.
Lovely. Yeah. Look, I think that he should, but he should. It's not about him consuming YouTube. I think he should be on YouTube restoring these park benches. It's incredibly relaxing.
I understand
a craftsman
that, Pete.
Not doing what he does.
I know he'd have a viewer in you, but what I'm trying to say is, if my dad doesn't even really know how to watch YouTube, that for me is very much the rung on the ladder to having your own YouTube channel, isn't it?
So yeah, it's a bit of a bottleneck, isn't it?
Yeah, so if I can't explain what YouTube actually... I mean, he knows what it is, and he just doesn't really get involved that much. I could probably get him to do it, but I mean, I think really he's more about the honour of it, not the glory, to be honest. Him and his mate Ray, who lives down the road, they're always doing stuff in the garage. Like he said to me the other day, he was in his mate Ray's van, and... he didn't realise that Ray had put like a supercharged turbo thing in the van just for no reason. And so Ray put his foot down
really
and the
fast.
Car just, and the van just went blow! Like it was amazing. It was honestly a really good story. I've not done it justice there.
It's just amazing.
He and Ray are like thick as thieves. They just go around restoring things and driving around buying things off people.
Look, this is a TV deal. This is a TV development deal waiting to happen.
Yeah. You
Ray
and me and
Moore's,
well, Pete.
And Moore's dad. Yeah, exactly. He could be teaching their feckless offspring how to fucking wire up a kettle plug or something.
I would very much be feckless in there. Pete, speaking of the old technology, did you read that thing that came out, I think it might have been a week or so ago, about the electronics companies have started to develop disinfection cabinets now? Have you seen this?
To put the like UV light kind of things to put in the to put your bits and bobs in, like your phone and stuff.
Yeah, so basically it looks a bit like a microwave and you put it in the hallway of your house, and when you come in, because of the pandemic, it uses UV light to kill bacteria and viruses and stuff on things like keys and mobile phones, and maybe like if you've got a kid, their toys. So as you come into the house, you put it in there, you give it a blast, and then you know that it's kind of clean. And electronics companies are anticipating these are going to be like the must-have new, I guess, gadgets, like electrical devices. I mean, does that seem like reasonable to you? Or does that think something you're a famous friend of technology? What do you think about this?
I think on the little Staccano thread, I suggested getting one for the office. So, just call me Donaldson the Future Peter. I mean, that would be a weird way of saying it, but Peter the Donaldson Future. No, Peter the Future Donaldson.
Have another go.
I said we should get a little.
Tell you what, Pete, if you introduce yourself to people, people are going to think, well, he might know about the future, but he seems a bit mental.
Yeah, they'll sort of go, he's introducing himself to me three different times and in three different ways.
You should bluff it out by going, in the future, we all speak like this.
That's how we all speak. Words aren't even important. Words mean nothing. I think I suggested a little while ago that you can pop your bits and bobs, pop your mic muffs in there, pop your microphones in there, kill all the bugs. You certainly have them in, they've had them in tattoo places and kind of spas for quite a while. to disinfect quickly and safely all of the stuff. I don't really know how they do it, though, with the all UV light. You certainly shouldn't scrimp on them. That's all I'm saying.
Well, they have them very Japanese cheap from China, but
well, I don't know. I mean, yeah, presumably you're right, though. This will be a thing that's more and more popular because people's phones are filthy, aren't they?
Apparently so. Yeah. Apparently, like mobile phones and computer keyboards are the breeding ground for that kind of stuff. So I've actually got a bit of a problem with my laptop now. Like the T button and the R button and the E button won't stop sticking.
Right,
it's a real pain. And I've got this air cleaner thing. It looks a bit like an aerosol, and it's got a little stick on the end of it to clean it out, but it's not fucking working. It's a real pain.
Hard on the old... is it like a MacBook Air? It's like a little thin keyboardy sort of thing. Yeah. I fell... This weekend, I actually thought I'd ruined my MacBook in that I fell down the stairs and it hit the wall.
Wow.
And also, I got chicken grease in the enter key. But it seems all right.
Yeah, I mean, how did you fall down the stairs?
Chicken grease.
You greased the banister.
Just in me socks. Just in me socks. Fell down the stairs. It was rather foolish of me, unfortunately.
What? And you were holding the MacBook at the time.
And I was holding the MacBook at the time. Took a big wedge out the wall. That's not going to come out. That's not going to buff out.
Have you found the adaptation? So the adaptation you've had to make, or the adaptation you've had to make to domestic life
existing in a right yeah
it involves you falling down the stairs and going to two car boot sales already.
Yeah, I like it.
Have you got a garage?
Got a garage, yeah.
Oh, I've got, what have you put in there?
Garage, yeah, just stuff, just bits
bag of
bobs,
cement gone hard,
bag of cement gone hard, grass cutting machine, some people call them a mower.
60 wrestling figures. What did Mark Haynes of Wrestle Me say about your wrestling figures?
He was quite into them, to be honest. I think he was surprised that a boy needed four John Cena's and two Undertakers. But there's certainly a lot of there's two Ultimate Warriors. So what I did immediately was to make the Ultimate Warrior have sex with himself. He was a notable homophobe. So really sticking it to a dead man.
Is he dead, Ultimate Warrior?
He was inducted to the Hall of Fame and then I think died the day after.
I know he became a mad politician.
Yeah, he wasn't a politician, but he was certainly a conservative commentator. To be honest, the stuff he sort of said pales in comparison with what's been said in the last 5 years. He probably would have had a lovely time. He would have been seen as the middle ground, quite frankly, the things he says.
You say he was a extreme political commentator. I mean, isn't that most people these days?
I guess so. Yeah, we've all got opinions, haven't we?
Ahead of his time,
and we're not afraid to share them.
No, and we're going to share some more opinions, probably chiefly on the back of people's emails, Pete, after this ad break. So should we take a quick one and then come back?
Let's do it.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Join me, Melissa Reddy, and listen to my brand new podcast, Between the Lines. I'll be speaking to the biggest names in football about the captivating, behind-the-scenes stories fans want to hear. From major talking points to untold anecdotes, you'll hear from some of football's leading stars as well as those working in the shadows. In our first episode, I spoke to former Spurs manager Maurizio Pochettino about that Amazon documentary.
We feel responsible because it was very difficult to say yes, to open the door to Amazon. Only we watched with Jesus the 25-minute first, because it was until we left the club.
And on our latest episode, I investigate how prevalent and damaging social media abuse is in football.
And I was like taking all this negativity onto myself, and I did. I kind of lost myself and my personality because I knew everything that was going on around it. And it's not until I actually got to a stage where I thought, I can't take this anymore. It is becoming too much for me, that I spoke out about it.
Craving football insight? Well, look no further. Listen to Between the Lines with me, Melissa Reddy, via Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever else you get your podcasts.
This was a Stakhanov production.
And we're back. It's the Luke and Pete Show. If you'd like to get in touch with the show, it's hello@lukeandpeteshow.com. I'm Pete Donaldson. I'm joined by Luke Moore. Luke, what's the email bounty brought us this week?
Well, it's very, very plentiful, as it normally is. And the first email that grabbed my attention this week is someone who chimed in about the antics they got up to while working at a supermarket.
Right, okay.
One thing I forgot to say about that last week is that there was this guy I used to work with as well at the supermarket, who was a genuinely very, very good blagger. Like he would get off. I mean, because at one point my antics got me into so much trouble that I ended up getting stuck out in the car park kiosk at the end of the car park, just checking people's receipts every day. And that wasn't too bad because I had like a little radio. And it's before the internet, really. So there was no kind of mobile phones or internet. So I had a radio. I used to listen to Radio 1 all day, grab a paper from the newspaper kind of bit in the supermarket on the way out, get my car park kiosk set up for 7 a.m. and just sit there till 3 with a little break for lunch. And it was in the summer and it was actually all right. But anyway, this guy, he was a little bit more senior than me, and he was like a legendary boozer as well. And one thing I forgot to say last week is that at one point, I'm pretty sure I remember him on a very early on a Sunday morning when he was supposed to be stocking up the supermarket before it opened. He was like sleeping on the bottom shelf of the crisp aisle. Like, so basically just tucked himself on the shelf.
Wedged in.
Yeah, just snoozing away. So look, everyone got up to it back in the day. And I also remember someone else who should remain nameless, when they had a hangover, being really hot, and so used to spend all their time in the freezer, in the chiller out the back, drinking Sunny Delight. That'd have been you, Donnie.
Again, I would have turned yellow. I'm surprised I wasn't one of those kids who turned yellow after drinking all the Sunny D.
I bet you loved Sunny Delight, didn't you?
Bit too late for my taste. I'd sort of graduated onto Cloudy Lemonade by the time Sunny D came.
Right. Was Sunny Delight just like a really well branded and marketed orange juice?
Yeah, it was very strong, though. Very, very sugary. Way more sugary than anything we'd expected before. And probably a bit more tart as well.
But is it illegal
gravitate,
now?
I'd gravitate. I think it would fall foul of certain junk food taxes, certainly. But then I like the Hawaiian kind of Jamaican punch you'd get in kind of specialist London shops, like Bigger Juice and stuff like that. Big fan of that back in the day. That was like more sugary than Sunny D, and also carbonated as well. Great on a hangover. Fantastic. Bigger Juice. Cannot get enough. I hope it still exists.
Yeah, apparently it's called Sunny D now, and you can still get it in the US, although I've not seen it in my most recent visits there. But no. Apparently in December 1999, there was a lot of negative publicity because a four-year-old girl experienced her skin turning orange due to the product's use of beta-carotene for colour because she was drinking an estimated 1.5 litres of cyanide of light a day. I mean, first of all, she's four. Her parents should be helping her out there. But, I mean, that's not a great look for a brand, is it? I mean, quite literally, it's a terrible look. Mind you, everyone's doing it these days, aren't they? Anyway, Andrew's been in touch saying, good afternoon, lads. Following on from Luke's story about his work hideaway, it reminded me of when I worked for a supermarket chain. I won't name names, apart from the fact to say that they used a pocket tap on their ads. I used to run the beers, wine and spirits section, even though I was only 17. I walked into work at 6 a.m. and the only people in at that time were the bakers. I walked to our stock room and decided that I couldn't be bothered that day, so I left a note in the diary pretending it had been left by one of the night workers saying I ran in sick, and so I went home. The thing is, I clocked in, but I never clocked out, and the next day when I came in, I spoke to the admin lady and said I forgot to clock out, so she manually put in that I finished at 6 p.m. Not only did I get a day off, I got paid a 12-hour shift and didn't use my holiday up. Love the pod, as always, and look forward to more stories. All the best, Andrew. Andrew, that is dishonest, and Pete Donaldson will take very, very unkindly to that, won't you, Pete?
The dream. That is the dream. Doing something that you're like, oh, I'm not sure about this, and then someone enables you to get away with it more deeply than you ever thought possible. I'm big on that. That's great news.
So a couple of things off the back of that. One would be that... I might have mentioned this before, but I'm not sure. So I'll just very, very quickly recap it if I have. That I know someone who used to work at a supermarket and first thing in the morning used to buy a sausage roll, right? So he would buy a sausage roll for like 50p, go to the counter, buy it, pay for it and get the receipt, right? Then he would spend the rest of the day eating sausage rolls. And if anyone questioned him, he just pulled the receipt out. So, no, I bought it earlier. Right?
And wonderful.
Number two, when I worked at an office, but I think it was a government department based down where I'm from. I'm not going to say it was. We used to have to clock in and clock out. So you'd come in, you'd swipe your card, and it would say the minute you came in, and then you would do the same when you left, obviously, and it would accrue your minutes. And sometimes if you were over your minutes for like 2 weeks, you get a day off or whatever. But crucially... Right. You used to have to clock out and clock back in again for lunch. So if you only took like 20 minutes for lunch, you would obviously you'd work more minutes basically. But we used to obviously want to take like an hour for lunch. So what we used to do is we used to give a load of our clocking in cards to one person on a rotational basis who used to once a week have to go back to work early after lunch and swipe everyone back in.
Nice.
And then we would go back in after, so you'd get an extra like 40 minutes work. It's dishonest. It's probably theft, but you know I'm not perfect, and nor is anyone. So I'm just trying to share the stories that I've experienced. I'm not saying it's a good thing. I'm just saying it's what happened.
I'm saying it's a good thing. Lewis Watson says, "Hi, gents. I met Buster Bloodvessel."
Oh,
remember
cool.
We were talking about him last week? The guy with the big fat belly and the big old chunky tongue.
He's skinnier now.
He is, yeah. I met Buster Bloodvessel in Uxbridge around 10 years ago after Bad Manners played to around 30 people in a rundown pub on Christmas Eve. Buster and the band hung about for ages afterwards, with me and my pals necking several tequilas with the great man singing back to him his own hit. Buster is from around the area and is a great narrowboat enthusiast.
Right.
He lives on a narrowboat in Hayes and he's often spotted around the area. He had a gastric bypass years back and is now unrecognisable from the man in the 80s and the 90s. He's a top bloke. Love the show, guys. Lewis, thank you for that particular email, Lewis. But I like the idea of Buster Bloodvessel residing on a narrowboat.
Yeah, I like that. I like it when rock stars and people like that have like a quite random alternative interest.
Yes.
Like yeah, Neil right. Young is famously into cars and trains in like quite a big way. And and for example, David Bowie was quite into the Nazis for a bit.
He was, yeah.
So
yeah,
it happens to all of them. I think he's got his own recording studio on a narrow boat.
Oh, that's nice. Would it be well insulated? I don't really. Maybe it would be actually.
How would it work, Pete? Do you reckon?
Because the pipes wouldn't be connected to anything. The I guess it's probably an ideal.
How's he powering it though?
Because you're kind of insulated. How's he powering it? I don't know. With a big battery, a generator. I don't know.
Generator's too noisy, surely.
Well, I would use a generator to power a UPS power supply. If he's all digital, the power supply is probably not going to be hit that hard. So you could probably get a good few hours of recording time out of it. I don't really know how narrow about power works. I presume a generator powers a battery, and then a battery charges the rest of your bits and your bobs.
Well, I think you could probably plug in when you're more up as well to charge things.
Mm.
So my friend Mitch, who is the most Australian man I've ever met, he lives on a narrow boat that he did up himself. And I think he's got a lot of solar power, I think.
Yeah.
And but he's got like full Wi-Fi. He works freelance. And I think he's like a web designer, but he just does it all from his narrowboat. It's a very idyllic life. But I think I'm right in saying that his girlfriend at the time refused to move in onto it with him. And which caused quite the schism.
Quite the ruction. They've got like a lot of I notice a lot of them down absolutely where they a lot of them have got satellite connectivity. So they've got little satellite connectors for Wi-Fi and stuff like that. So they don't have to worry about 4G or stuff like that. It's just straight from space, baby.
Is that expensive or cheaper than
normal? Yeah, it's very expensive, but it's a bit more reliable, maybe. I don't know.
Tell you what I love, Pete. Speaking of technology, right, you might know more about this than me. I absolutely love a Comrex.
Comrex, now, what's that?
Well, I think it's what they use, like war reporters use when they're out in the field.
Like a satellite phone.
Yeah, it's wicked. Mm. I've used one before when we had to record a couple of radio shows in lockdown. Very enjoyable. You genuinely felt like you're a war reporter, but from the safety of your own home. And if you're someone who's frightened of that kind of work, which I very much am, it was kind of a nice little buzz.
Yeah. I mean, I guess nowadays, they not to get too technical, but instead of the Comrex satellite stuff, they have... Or maybe this is still Comrex. They have options where they would have three or four different 4G connections. So they'll have like one from Vodafone, one from O2, one from EE, and follow off, like square away all of the connections. And when one falls down, the other one takes over. And then if the other one falls down, the other one takes over. It's how they do it on the trains. They use different network providers.
A metaphor for collaboration that we could all do a lot more of.
Yeah. I'm right. Why don't we just have one big network, guys? Why don't we just all get together?
I think in the unlikely event that our listeners have got anything to say on that, they should get in touch. Hello at lukeandpeteshow.com.
I've never used a Comrex.
Yeah, perhaps you want to email in and you know, lament the passing of ISDN in favour of an IPDTL model. You know, that's something that we could all get behind. But if you want to email about anything else, you're welcome to do so on the same address. Hello at lukeandpeteshow.com. Perhaps you've bought 500 wrestling toys from a car boot sale, or perhaps you also like to upcycle and restore park benches. It's up to you. Get in touch and let us know. We're out of time for Monday's show, but we will, of course, be back on Thursday with some more of this inanity. So do tune in, subscribe, leave us a review, do all that good stuff. It really helps other listeners to find our show. Say goodbye, Pete Donaldson.
Goodbye, Pete Donaldson.
And it's goodbye from me as well. See you on Thursday.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
First dated my now husband, I joined a gym
for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.